Hey, this is Gear, and I always have my backpack playing Geekcast Radio Network Podcast.
Welcome to episode 5 of Podcaster Meets World, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, Steve G. and Mike. Joining me, as always, Steve Megatron. Hello.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo. Today we're going to be talking about the first half of Boy Meets World Season 3, which includes episode 1 through episode 11. Oh boy, this season, full on high school mode, or middle school mode, I should say. Yeah,
these boy meets growth and hormones.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. And once we eventually get to Girl Meets World, folks, I'm gonna say this then, and I'll say it now. I am so glad that Boy Meets World does, like, I don't want to say actual episode titles, but in Girl Meets World, it's Girl Meets This. Girl Meets, every episode title is Girl Meets. And I understand that, and I like some of that, but like in these 11, for the first half of season 3, in these 11 episodes, we have so many different titles. My Best Friend's Girl, The Double Lie, What I Meant to Say, He Said, She Said, Hometown Hero, This Little Piggy, Truth and Consequences, Rave On, The Last Temptation of Corey, Train Fools, and City Slackers. You know, they kind of tell you what the episode is about, but they also don't tell you what the episode's about.
Yeah, that's a Girl Meets World gripe.
Yeah.
But and every episode in that series starts with Girl Meets.
Yeah. Blah. And it's not a bad thing that they did that. I understand why they did that, and it works for that show. I just like looking, like, I like looking at episode lists, or like right now I'm on the Boy Meets World season 3 Wikipedia page, which is specifically just season 3. It shows the cast, it shows the recurring cast, and then it has all the episodes with a slight little, you know, blurb about each episode, and then the guest stars or the people who might not be, like, William Russ as Alan Matthews was absent in certain episodes, or Danielle Fishel as Topanga was absent in certain episodes, kind of thing. So it's not like, you know, I'm looking at the whole book of the entire series here. The one thing I noticed about this is that this season, with where they're starting in school and what they're doing in school and all of that, Morgan is kind of not there. Like, I knew, yeah, she wouldn't be, but, like, it's all about Corey and Sean. It's all about Frankie, Joey, and Griff, and then, well, later Harley.
It's pretty much taking place at John Adams High.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I mean, there are sometimes when they are at the house, or they're at Topanga's, or they go to Feeney's, or they go to John's. John. The other Sean's not absentee dad, but Sean's, you know, the teacher.
Yeah. Jonathan Turner.
Yes. Yeah. Turner. Yeah. Forgot what his damn last name was. And I found watching this again for the first time in a long time that I didn't connect with a lot of this. Like, I don't have, like, the whole point of us doing this podcast, besides the fact that we love these series, Boy Meets World and Girl Meets World, is to go back, for me personally, to go back and watch them and see if I have anything in my history that could relate to this, or if I don't relate to this. And there's a lot of, in just this first half of season 3, that I do not have any allegories to.
Mm.
And it's not a bad thing. I will say, some of the guest stars they had in this, at least the first half of this season, very, very cool. Episode 6, they had Al Borland, Richard Karn from Home Improvement as Victor, because episode 6 was this little piggy where they had, where Sean tries to keep an abandoned pig as a pet. And then in episode 8, which is called Rave On, which I'm really surprised they didn't have John Cougar Mellencamp, but they have Mickey Dolenz, Davy Jones, and Peter Tork, the monkeys. Like, wow. Very, very cool. What were your thoughts? Do you have thoughts on, like, the first couple, the first three or four, as you watch these again? What were you thinking when you watched them?
Well, I love the Eli Williams character when he shows up.
Yep.
Just whenever he shows up, because like his whole shtick of, you know, he's the good friend of Jonathan Turner. He's, you know, he's quit the local news. He's teaching media. He's just, you know, more. He takes Turner, but he's got more of the teachery vibe. Like but he's also like down to earth. Like,
yeah.
So I really enjoyed his character whenever he showed up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like some of the stuff didn't really resonate with me, but it was still entertaining nonetheless.
Yeah.
This season is where you start getting more of where their personas are going.
Oh yes.
Because you know, you get more of, you know, the daredevil, like standout Sean, you get more of Corey, you just kind of like panicky and, you know, quick to jump at things. And then you get Eric starting to get stupid.
Yeah.
And Corey's fascination with Topanga starts a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, in episode 3 of season 3, he tells her, "I love you." And then apparently, because if you tell somebody you love them, everyone in the entire school thinks that every girl is going to want to hear their boyfriend say those same words about, you know, about them. And I like how this, like, I like how Corey and Topanga start here, because this is the scene that we all saw. Like, you know how Girl Meets World does flashbacks to obviously this stuff, and they use clips from this. Mm-hmm. Well, in one of the clips for Girl Meets World, they used the jean jacket clip where he throws it back at her after they make up and whatever. But he sits there and tells her that he loves her. She doesn't know how to react to that, and she breaks it off with him, which, okay, I get it. But then they actually have a real, almost adult conversation. And, you know, I don't remember talking to girls this, like, I don't remember myself or other male friends I had in middle school talking to girls the way that Corey and Topanga have this conversation. Maybe it's because those characters are supposed to be written where they are mature enough to come into this and look at it as, okay, this is how I felt. This is how I felt. What do we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Do we either stay broken up? Do we not love each other? Blah, 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 blah. Let's figure this out. And that's the whole thing. Let's figure it out.
So, Corey, are you feeling what I'm feeling?
I think I am. Topanga?
Yeah?
I love you.
Corey, this isn't easy for me.
Well, you know, relationships are hard work. I mean, they involve planning, communicating, a lot of give and take.
I don't think we should see each other anymore.
Is that give or take?
I'm sorry. It's over. Hey, what are you doing here?
Look, Topanga, now that it's over between us, there are a few things of mine that I want back. My jean jacket.
Fine, take it. Now go.
No. There's one more thing.
I don't have anything else of yours.
Yeah, you do. You have all my feelings about you, and I don't have any of yours. So everything I've ever thought about you, I want back.
What are you talking about?
I mean, I thought I could open up to you and tell you how I feel. So I said I loved you. So what? It was the truth. And you just blew me off without any explanation, without telling me how you feel. You know, I thought I knew you, Topanga. But I was wrong.
I was scared.
What?
You wanted to know how I feel. I was scared.
Of me?
No. Of what you said. I mean, we're only 14 years old. These feelings, when did you know?
Promise you won't laugh. Do you remember the time when we were in my backyard, chasing fireflies? And you had like 20 in your jar, and I had one with a broken bulb. And then Eric came outside and started teasing us.
He said, Corey loves Topanga. You said, yuck, I hate her.
That's when I knew.
Corey, we were only 6.
Who cares?
How could you know then? I'm not even sure I know what I love you means now.
Look, all I know is you and I belong together. I mean, I've always been able to talk to you, to make you laugh. And I've always, always wanted to take care of you. All right. Topanga, I've been completely honest with you. So, I got my jean jacket, so I'll leave you alone.
So that's what I love you means?
Yeah. Bye.
Corey?
Uh-huh.
I love you too.
I was always hoping you did.
Let's, you know, are we in this or are we not in this? And, you know, these childhood love stories sometimes work and sometimes they don't. Let's see. Hometown Hero, which was episode 5, the chemistry, Shikari and Sean sneak into the chemistry lab and accidentally start a fire. That was interesting that they, you know, they started it and then everyone thinks that he's a hero because he saved Janet or Bud and all that. And, you know, again, it just goes to show you that lying about something is never the answer. You're always going to get caught. You're always going to, you know, whatever. This little piggy, as I mentioned earlier, Sean wants to take care of an abandoned pig as a pet. But Topanga feels that apartment is not the proper environment for. So again, we're getting into Sean and how he sees this little piggy where it's been abandoned or this, that, and the other thing. And technically he's kind of abandoned because his dad's off looking for his mom and all this. So we get more into Sean's characterization, which I like. And I like him and Topanga interacting. I like them going back and forth. I thought
well, because you get really that witty banter. Like he's got kind of lowbrow. She's got the highbrow.
Yeah,
you get a lot of that, and it for a lot of the series kind of continues in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I think one of the best episodes of the first half of the third season is the last one we watched, which was episode 11, City Slackers. This was January 5th, 1996.
I know, it makes you feel old, doesn't it?
Well, because the whole point of City Slackers is it's not a ripoff, but it's a take on City Slickers, which was a Billy Crystal. City Slickers 1 and 2, Billy Crystal movies. Ooh, we can do those in studio at some point. Anyway, that's a discussion for another day. What I like about this is that even though Corey and Sean sneak off to Mr. Feeney's mountain cabin for a weekend of fun, you know, they obviously are caught in the act, and...
All right, I'm here. Time to belly up to the excuse table.
Mr. Feeney, you've got no right trespassing on your own property.
Mr. Matthews, you're up.
Actually, Mr. Feeney, my parents are on their way up, and we just rushed ahead to straighten out the place.
That's a bald-faced lie.
Every word, sir.
So... You two snaked the key from your parents and snuck up here to have a good time.
Huh? That's a bold-faced lie, Mr. Feeney. It worked when he said it.
You know, Mr. Feeney, I thought you said you never use this place anymore.
I came to pack up so I could sell it.
We'll take it.
Hey, now you're trespassing.
I don't even hear you anymore.
Look, Mr. Feeney, before things get too out of hand, why don't you just call our parents and they can come pick us up?
This late? Uh-uh. No, we're stuck here till morning, like it or not.
How many beds are there?
One.
We learn more about Feeney here, and I really dig that, because this mountain cabin is something that he and his wife, you know, had, and, you know, the whole watch thing and the whole story about Feeney and the whole, you know, journal, diary, whatever you want to call it. I really dug that. I thought that was great.
Yeah, and I just love the all the dynamics between all the characters as they start to evolve. Like, you've got less of that. I mean, there's still a lot of juvenile moments, but there's less of it of the, you know, elementary school carryovers, you know, and trying to find my place. It's no, we're just goofing off and having fun.
Yeah. It's one of those episodes where you have Corey and Sean, who, let's face it, like, obviously Corey is the lead, but, you know, Corey and Sean, it's always Corey and Sean, or Sean and Corey, or, you know, whatever. And they're always doing stuff because they're the best friends. And, you know, I like seeing how they get caught in the act. And then I like seeing how they, along with Mr. Feeney, interact with each other. And we learn stuff. We learn stuff, you know, that he teaches them and that they teach him. And that's always a good thing.
Well, and you started seeing a lot of that, you know, in the last season, you know, between Corey and Feeney. So,
yep. I'm interested, because I have not watched yet. I'm interested to see where the episode 12 through 22 take us and see how that will transition into season 4 and see what else happens with these characters. And I agree with you. The addition of Alex Desert, or Desert, or however he's supposed to say, he has a little asterisk or whatever at the top of his name, kind of thing. But I like his character. I think his character was a great addition. Plus, I know him from another show. He was Jake on Becker with Ted Danson. Because I recognized his voice, and I was like, ooh, isn't that... Wow. Becker's an interesting comedy show. It was after Cheers and all that stuff. And in that show, Alex plays, like I said, Jake. And Jake is a blind guy. So it's a really interesting kind of thing. And at some point, if I can find it, we may do an episode of Studio on Becker. But the first half of season 3, I like the growth. I like where it's going. I think it's cool. I do like that Eric is on his path to becoming Mr. Squirrels, sort of. But I know not every character is going to be the Corey or the Sean character. Every character also needs something to do, and I just wish that the more idiotic savanted he gets, like, he gets worse and worse, and it just, there's things later when somehow Eric gets to college, and we'll talk about these later, that I just don't like about his character, because I feel like the older brother should be not necessarily better than Corey, but should be
more wise in how the world is going.
Yeah, and sadly, it's not that way until much, much later.
Well, as much as I love this series, I like some aspects of Eric being totally stupid. Uh-huh. but in certain situations it added to his character to be funny.
Yes.
In other situations, I was like, okay, he's not this dumb. He was smarter than this even in the first two seasons. And then they just like totally regressed him to like an infantile idiot. And I, not that I, you know, disliked his character. It just, you know, and my wife feels the same way. She's like, I wish they would not have made him stupid.
Yeah.
She's like, I want to like him, you know, so, but he's just, he's too dumb. And, you know, it even gets worse when they introduce Jack, you know, and the roommate, and that's when he gets into that.
I think that, and we'll talk about this later when we get into those seasons, but I think the thing with Eric going towards the college thing and then, you know, meeting Jack and doing all that, once he meets Jack, he has an opposite of himself, sort of, because Jack isn't as dumb as Eric, thank God. But
he's squeaky clean, and that drives him nuts, and so it creates this competitive nature between them.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And I like that, and I think that's interesting, and I think you could only do that with the best friend type of characteristics.
Oh, yeah.
You could not have Eric and Corey doing what Jack and Eric do. You just couldn't, because they're brothers, and they're supposed to, you know, do the brotherly thing and whatever. But yeah, these first 11 episodes were very interesting. I thought they aged them a little more than what they did, but I guess not, because seasons 2 through 5 are all middle and high school. So
yeah, well, I think it too, there was like this growth between the characters between seasons. And so they look like they've grown quite a bit. just from the previous season, like they still look kind of childish. This one, they look like high school. And so like it's created this, I don't know, this different dynamic where they just, you can kind of see this difference in their personas and their visual appearance in a lot of ways. And then of course, like you get to continue to have Jonathan Turner, you get to continue to have, Eli, and I honestly wish that they would have kept them much longer than what they did.
Yeah,
because it added this nice little dynamic, not only for the kids, because you had these younger, more hip teachers, but it also added a nice dynamic for Feeny, who is much older. And when you lose them, there's really not an iconic teacher that really replaces them.
Yeah.
And so you don't really have somebody for Feeny to bounce off of other than the core squad of, you know, Corey, Sean, Topanga, Eric, and then later Jack and and I'm blanking on the other two.
Rachel and Angela.
Yes.
Don't think you're getting away with this.
Go away.
Stop right there.
Hey, Captain, what is your beef?
My beef, Captain, is that you just snaked my coffee.
Hey, I put my money in. The cup dropped. The coffee poured. It's my coffee.
How much money did you put in?
A nickel.
Precisely a nickel. I had just deposited 75 cents, and I turned my back for a moment to get some more change.
Eli, just a second, Jonathan. I got a situation.
Yeah, more than you know. Remember that interview I set was with Mr. Feeny?
Yeah, and you know what? I can't wait, because the first thing I'm going to do is tell Feeny he's got little mustache men power tripping all over his home. Feeny, right? Hi. Coffee?
Only because he showed me a picture of Angela.
Hey! You showed him that? Hey! How come I never could see that?
Yeah, it's interesting, to say the least, as far as where the show is going. And again, I remember a lot of, and not just because of Girl Meets World, but just for me, what I remember most from this show is the first two seasons and the last two seasons, season 6 and season 7. I remember season 7 like the back of my head kind of thing. These middle ones are where I'm discovering what was being taught and how it was being taught and the lessons in the character growth, if there is character growth or character regression, like we've talked about with Eric. You know, because there was that character regression, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So part one of season 3 is in the books. Did you have a favorite moment or a favorite quote from any of these 12 episodes or 11 episodes, I should say?
Well, in My Best Friend's Girl, it's funny. The portion with Corey, Sean, and Eli.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where is he?
You don't believe in knocking?
No, I don't believe in anything anymore. I demand to know where Sean Hunter is.
I'm right here, Cor.
Aha! I found you.
Is this about Topanga?
What were you thinking, Sean? You do not ask out your best friend's girl. Am I right?
How long you been dating her?
Never!
He didn't even make a move.
Yeah, but I was going to.
Yeah, this sounds like a clear violation of the gentleman's code of dating.
Yes!
Well, you see, a true friend doesn't ask out a girl that his buddy likes or has just broken up with. Right, John?
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. I mean, there's always exceptions to that rule.
Yeah, right? And would one of these exceptions be a certain Miss Cynthia Hart?
Eli, will you let it go? I mean, that was 10 years ago. Besides, you dumped her for that Spanish transfer student whose only word of English was yes.
That was my favorite semester.
Okay, so no,
that doesn't make a difference.
Start any trouble with me, pal.
Knife in the back here. Too bad that neither my back
was so heavy. Which, it's I mean, I've never had that happen in my situation, but yeah. It's still entertaining and funny enough.
Yeah, absolutely it is. For me, I think I really dig the unpopular stuff. Like when Corey and Sean soil Janitor Bud's reputation when they produce like that whole episode 7, Truth and Consequences, where we dig into the fact that Eli is the media arts teacher and looking at how the media arts class is, and all throughout middle school and high school, I always wanted to do media class, and I eventually did get to do it in junior and senior year of high school, and man, it was so fun and so interesting. But some of the stuff that we had to do to get stories or to figure out what to put on the air and what not to put on the air, I thought that was a really, really interesting thing. And I also like the friendship, the best friend friendship with Jonathan and Eli. Yeah, yep. That's really cool. That's very well done. So yeah, I think that's gonna do it. I mean, this is a short episode. I'm not sure there are any major lessons that they learn in these first 11 episodes that we really have to go over and discuss, because like I said at the beginning of this episode of the podcast, like, well, first of all, my parents got divorced when I was 2, so there's no way in hell in middle school or high school I would throw a rave that turns into their 20th anniversary kind of, you know. I like that. I think that episode with Ray Vaughn was really good. I think it was awesome that they got the monkeys to do that episode. That was so cool. But yeah, no, next time around we've got season 3 part 2. Featuring The Grass Is Always Greener, New Friends and Old, A Kiss Is More Than a Kiss, The Heart Is a Lonely Hunter, ooh, that's a full-on Sean episode, Stormy Weather, The Pink Flamingo Kid, Life Lessons, I Was a Teenage Spy, I Never Sang for My Legal Guardian, and along with The Happiest Show on Earth, and Brother, Brother. So that's what's coming up next on Podcaster Meets World. Are you guys out there listening to this, that whoever is listening to this, watching along with us, what do you think about the first half of season three? And if there's anything we missed, let us know. But these episodes, for me, just were kind of there. Like I said at the beginning, I didn't have, like, season one and season two, I had things that I could grab onto. I had things that I remember either doing or not doing, or remember seeing it done adjacent to me in elementary school kind of thing. But this middle school stuff, I didn't have a traditional middle school schooling, so I bounced around to a bunch of schools. So, you know, there is that. Any final thoughts from you, sir, before I run through the closing?
Nope.
All right. Thank you for joining us here on Podcaster Meets World. There are several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Yes, iTunes is still a thing. Spotify and any other podcasting client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network. I am at TFG1 Mike. What are your Twitters?
At SCP21 and at Steve Phillips VO.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. Join us next time when we will be discussing Boy Meets World Season 3, Part 2. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in next time here on Podcaster Meets World.
What are you doing?
I'm reading.
No, really.
This book Feeny was looking at, it's some kind of diary.
Sean, you're reading Feeny's diary? Are you crazy? Are you nuts? Are we in it?
He just knew so much about Mia. I wanted to find out some stuff about him. Do you know he used to come up here with his wife?
Yeah, I knew that.
And I didn't even know he was married. Listen to this. December 18th, 1961. I called in sick so Lillian and I can sneak up here for a three-day weekend.
Feeny cut class.
I suppose my students will miss me, but every now and then, you have to break the rules.
Sounds like you, Sean.
It's more like me than you think. December 19th. The next day, Lillian and I never made it out to the slopes. No regrets.
Feeny, you dog!
Let's see here.
February 14th, 1965. Lillian and my fifth anniversary. Still no sign of the slopes. In the evening, we exchanged gifts. As I lifted the wristwatch out of its box, the glass on the watch face caught Lillian's reflection. A smile that lit the night sky.
His wristwatch.
That watch will keep time, but for a moment in time. But her smile will reflect in its face forever.